A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by bagging these bongos. Hello and welcome to episode 178 of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Well, today's guest is Lise Boussier. She's a French artist living in London and is a member of the Royal Society of Sculptors. She uses found and discarded items as her materials. From the 23rd of June, as part of the Kensington and Chelsea Art Week, Lise is showing her latest installation, Roller Coaster, which is being housed in the beautiful chapel in the, well, equally beautiful Brompton Cemetery. If you don't know Brompton Cemetery, it's one of the great cemeteries of London, and coincidentally, where we recorded the very first episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast with the late, great Dougie Fields. To celebrate a diverse range of people and culture within the borough of Kensington and Chelsea, they have their fifth Kensington and Chelsea Art Trail, which runs until the 31st of August, where you will find free public art all around the borough, some in absolutely iconic locations. And if you think that could be too much walking, then don't despair. They've only gone and got an art bus, which takes you to every artwork along the trail. It don't get much better than that, right? But as far as today is concerned, all you've got to do is sit back, relax, and listen to me speaking to Lise Boussier. Have you been in your studio for long?
Yes, I've been in the studio for 2 years now. Nice. But to be honest, the sculpture that I've been developing for Kensington and Chelsea Art Week, I developed this in my living room.
That's always a good thing.
So it was because it's something that it's easy to fold and unfold, and it really adapts to any space. So yeah, I used to live in another home, in another house that I was sharing with many people. And then I used to rent the living room to have on my sculpture.
Brilliant. And then you just take it down and put it in a bag?
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. That's a great way to transport a sculpture.
Yeah.
I do have several questions, Lise.
Mm-hmm.
The first being, how would you explain what you do to someone that doesn't know your work?
Okay, so in my practice in general, I like to extract elements straight from the place I'm working. So I don't really like to go to art shop and buy new material. I like to collect things.
Nice.
So things that are thrown away. And this way, all majority of my installation, painting, talk about the space it's installed. So it's kind of in situ pieces. Because it's made out of the elements that have been extracted in the same place. So for example, I've been collecting straws, I've been collecting wood in the park, I've been collecting hanger where I'm working. So I'm really, I like to collect and accumulate things and then play with them. And also I'm very connected to, because I come from like the south of France, from the countryside.
Nice.
So I have this strong connection with nature. While here, London is such a huge city, so I see it as a very wild place, but a wild urban place. So I like to create this kind of analogy between the natural environments and the urban environments.
Oh, nice. That gives you a lot of room to play with as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, especially London is so vibrant. There is so many things to explore and to share, and so many people to meet. But it's true that at a certain point, we have so much freedom. It's good also to really focus and stay focused on a very specific trajectory, because otherwise it's so many options. But yeah, usually all my sculpture, all my installation are ephemeral, and they are always different wherever they are exhibited. So they are always kind of unexpected, even from myself. They always surprise myself because I never know too much in advance what it's going to look like.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So if you was to move it from one environment to another, it gets rebuilt, but in a different form.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And I like a challenging space as well. So, for example, I like to exhibit in places that are not originally an art gallery, a white cube. I like spaces that have a personality or which are difficult to approach because it usually adds to the piece when there is a dialogue between the art piece and the place it's exhibited in.
Yeah, I agree. When it's in a white cube, we do look at it. We do put the artwork up on a little bit of a pedestal, don't we, you know?
Yeah, we and it's a place where we expect, of course, to see art. While when we exhibit outside in different environments, it brings the art to the public. So it's not the public that comes to the art piece. It's the art piece that comes to the public.
Always a good idea. How long have you lived in London?
So I've been living here for 7 years. So now I'm British.
Excellent. And growing up in the countryside and then living in the city, is there times when it gets a little bit overwhelming and you just need space?
Yeah, actually, London is quite spacious. I love the fact that there is such a contrast in the cityscape. So there is this huge area with a lot of building, and then you have these immense parks. So that's why it's such an incredible balance that we only find in London. You cannot see this in Paris, for example, or in any like capital in Europe. So that's why I love London so much, and I love to portray that city so much.
Excellent. Did you have art in the home growing up, Lise?
Yes, actually. I've been lucky to live in an artistic family. I have more like a jewelry background. So all my family are working in the jewelry field. And I've been surrounded by a lot of art and a lot of plants and a lot of nature.
So how comes you never went into jewelry yourself?
Because I wanted to extend a little bit the field of expression. Because also I like to work with the elements that are poor. So I like to work with what is leftover, whatever abandoned, or that is thrown away, that is useless for society. Yeah. I love to use it and kind of resurrect it or bring a new life to it.
Your materials are pretty much the opposite to gold and silver and cherished metals. I love it. So when did you first realize that you wanted to be an artist?
Oh, I have always been wanting to be an artist.
Excellent. I love that answer.
It's just something, it's a field where I was feeling I needed to have a space where I could really express pure freedom. And that's why I've always been into art.
You mentioned about making your artwork with found materials. Could you tell me a little something about your artwork dry cleaning?
So dry cleaning is made of hanger that I've been collecting in my workplace. So it actually reflects the erratic rhythm that we have in London, because the sculptures are very vibrant. the material itself is coming from the workspace and describe the rhythm of the our life as a our daily life in London. Sorry, I don't manage to formulate.
Now you're quite all right. Because it is just regular wire coat hangers, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And I transform them into a sculpture that are extremely vibrant and that like reflects the kind of hypnosis we are in when we work in such erratic rhythm.
Because they looked rather large. What was the size of them?
So it was like 3 meter high.
Wow. Because they did have a lot of, the form had a lot of movement.
Yeah, a lot of movement. They were all different. And the potentiality of composition is infinite. So that's why they all look very different.
And where was that shown?
This one, I never show it.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. It was, where was it photographed then? Because it was really impressive in the photographs.
But actually this one, it's half real and half fictional sculpture.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
To find the technical solution to make it real.
One perfect.
Of real shop, but one day I'm sure that I will manage to make it real. But I like the fact that it's a sculpture that don't really belong to reality, because it brings like a new approach to the artwork. It's not, the fact that it's not physical, it brings it to a level of like a dream or something that is doesn't belong to where we are. So yeah, it brings new interpretation to the piece.
When you was describing the way you find objects and put them all together in a various and different spaces, the one that I had in mind was gowns.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so gowns, it's actually made of wood that have been collected in Hyde Park.
Big branches. So,
yeah, it's branches, yeah. And then actually it's called gowns because it can be dressed in an infinity of variation of dresses or gowns. So that's why I've been experimenting a little bit with it, and I dress it with feathers, with leaves, with flowers, with also bamboo, like colorful bamboo sticks. So yeah. I just already experimented with 5 or 6 material, but in the future I can experiment with even more.
You say that you dress it. It is in fact on the sides of the branches, you insert the leaves and the feathers.
Yes, exactly. So basically it's pierced. The branches are pierced. So that's why I can add anything on it.
Has that been shown anywhere yet?
Yeah, this one has been shown in Couple Projects for Couple Exchange. It was in 2020, and it has been pre-selected for the Royal Academy Summer Show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
This year?
This year, yeah.
Oh, splendid.
No, last year, sorry. Last year. But at least it has been spotted. And then I have a lot of positive feedback for this piece, even from other curators. So, yeah.
Another work I'd like to know about is Snow on Calico. It was a very large installation, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Snow on Calico is made out of material that is used for construction work. So we all know that I really love to talk about the construction work in London, because I like the fact that the city is is being transformed all the time by the cranes, for example. Yeah. So I talk a lot about the cranes. And also, for Snow in Calico is made of this fabric that is used in the construction work, and is made also of wall painting. Mm. So what I wanted to do for this piece is to really use very raw and kind of masculine or something, very raw material to describe something very soft and ephemeral, which is the snow. So once again, I used material used in the city that doesn't directly belong to the art world to make an art piece.
Yeah.
That describes the beauty of the snow.
And it was shown in a very large space. These sheets were hanging down, wasn't they? How many did you have? 8 or 10?
This one was like around 3 meter or 2 meter and a half.
Yeah.
But it can be, it's a large one. I And to be honest, I can do more, but it's just I need to stock in my workshop. And I had smaller size as well. So yeah. For example, in the past, still with a copper project, I had another exhibition and I created like a forest of painting. So it was a layering of different painting in the space with the big one you are mentioning at the back. And then at the front, it was like a layering of other one to add on color and volume and to bring like 3D effects.
And the viewer could walk through the sheets as well. Brilliant. Lex, which piece that you've created has got the strongest emotional connection, do you think?
Snow on Calico had a lot of positive feedback.
Good.
And it's painting, but it's also a kind of a sculpture as well, because I really play with the crease. So I really play with the 3D materiality of the piece. And yes, the forest of painting, with the levitating, like painting in the space, had a very good feedback.
And there's a fun question that I ask each artist. If there was you and five other artists, past and present, what would your ideal group show be?
Me and five other artists. So I love the work of Monika Suskova. She's a Polish artist, and she also works with the tools with elements that she found in the city. She makes very minimalistic composition but very strong in terms of evocation. Then I like so I have another artist that I love. He's from Korea, and his name is Kim Chung-hak. He mainly draw flowers with a lot of vivid colors. And I really like, I mean, he's a grandfather, you know, and he's so genuine into what he does. He does very like huge scales painting. Yeah. So he really dives into his painting.
Oh, and nice.
And he really like puts himself in the painting to really describe the nature around him. So I really like this artist. Then I have another artist. She's very, very different from the previous one. Is Anne Imroth, but she's very famous. She's the one who won the Golden Lion in the Biennale Venice. Her heart is very quite dark, and she really like engages the body in the space, and she really creates like interaction with the viewer.
A physical interaction.
Physical interaction. Yeah. So, for example, she worked a lot with the dancer and the choreographer. She works a lot with choreographer to really like create a dance, and then she opened up the dance with the interaction of the public. And then let me see the other one.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What does she create?
She makes she fills houses with plaster, and then she removed the house.
Rachel Whiteread.
Thank you. So then I really love the work of Rachel Whiteread, because she also works a lot with elements from the city. So there is a specific artwork that I love, which is this piece that where she fills the house with the plaster, and then she removed the walls of...
Wasn't it absolutely beautiful? I know it was like, what was it, nearly 30 years ago, that piece. I can't remember its title off the top of my head, but it was in, I think it was in Hackney or Bethnal Green, when, as you say, she filled the inside with plaster, or at least the inside walls, and then took the structure away, leaving this ghost-like image of the building. It was absolutely beautiful.
Have you seen it in real?
No. I was unable to see it. But yeah, she's worked in that manner ever since.
Yeah, I love it so much. It's so poetical, and I love the way that she keeps like almost a phantom-like presence of an element that used to exist in the past. So she keeps the memory of an element that has disappeared. So this is something that really like makes echo with me and makes sense with my own practice.
She once cast a library. Have you seen that at all? And it was absolutely stunning. It was so cold and ghostly.
Yeah.
And almost lonely, you know?
Yeah. No, I really like this practice. And also it's a practice that we can associate with photography, because she instead of casting the light, she casts the space, you know, but it's the same approach, just to keep like the mark of the space through a specific material.
Yeah, amazing. She's one of my favorites, that's for sure.
Yeah, she's a superstar.
And your fifth?
And then the fifth one. So the last artist that I love, I would love to exhibit with, will be Ren Ang. So basically he's a Chinese photographer, and I love so much his work because he's very artisanal. So he's not taking picture of celebrities with super expensive material into like a grandiose space. He's just playing with the element that he finds on site to create compositions that are very poetical, very strong, sometimes very dramatic, but with very tiny little elements. So he almost invites us to rediscover the objects that surround us, the space that surrounds us in our daily life through his composition.
Yeah, I didn't know of him. You've said several times about working with found objects, and we started this conversation when you was telling us about Roller Coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Roller Coaster is part of the Kensington Chelsea Art Week this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you are showing it at the Brompton Cemetery Chapel.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been to a couple of exhibitions there. It's a beautiful space, isn't it?
I'm very lucky, and I'm very grateful to all the Kensington and Chelsea team for selecting this work. The space is incredible. It's just like, first, it's in the middle of a cemetery, but that is full of life. It's such a beautiful place. It's very peaceful when you walk there. You have this sense of peace, and you really want to like stay there and just enjoy like the environment.
Well, we should add, for people that don't know the Brompton Cemetery, it's one of the great London cemeteries. It's not a very somber place. It's almost an exciting environment to walk through the cemetery itself, isn't it? Because you come in at the Brompton end and you have to walk nigh on the entire length of the cemetery itself to come up to the chapel.
Yeah, exactly. There is this big like alley, and then on the side you have, of course, all the tomb, but it's surrounded, covered with nature. So there are so many flowers, so many plants, and there are like so many birds around. It's like you feel like you are walking in a living painting, because it's too beautiful, you know.
Yeah,
as a photographer, if you like to take picture, you can just take picture anytime, anywhere. It's gonna always be beautiful. And at the end of this alley, there is this chapel that is so impressive. You enter it here and you have this sense of space, but also you have this feeling, you feel very like in peace as well, because it's round shapes.
Yeah.
The ceiling is super high. You have 8 columns. And I will install the sculpture in the middle of, in between the columns.
Did you say you're putting your artwork between the columns, or is it in the center?
It's gonna be straight in the middle.
Nice.
Straight in the middle, but it's going to be suspended. So I'm going to use a column for the system of suspension. And then from which going to be like build a sculpture.
And a roller coaster is made purely from found plastic straws.
Yes, so I've been collecting since 2019 straws, because my first show for roller coaster was made in 2019. So I was lucky to find very like collaborative manager of some bubble teas. They would give me like every week, they would give me like, straws. So for me, it was gold, because I would exhibit the piece and then I would go back to the piece, go to the bubble tea and add on in the piece. So that's why. And I like the fact that it's elements that I use for art. So I elevate the statue of the straw that is not recycled cable.
Yeah.
And then I use and I play with them to create different sculpture. But yeah, it's the majority of the straw I've been collecting them in London.
And what is the story behind roller coaster itself?
So the story, initially, I wanted to pay tribute to the cranes that are over-present in London. And that to me looked like a huge insect. I see yeah. them all like huge like spider or huge insect belonging to like a different world that are much...
Yeah, like praying mantis like. Over our city, yeah.
Yeah. And then I decided to create like very thin and elevated sculpture to pay tribute to these cranes. Once I mounted the first roller coaster, the first sculpture, I wanted to name it Cranes. But once I saw it, I thought that it looked like a roller coaster. So I named it Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
And I thought roller coaster is actually a good reflection of the lifestyle in London, because we all have very erratic life and we all have to run all the time. And so we need to optimize each single minute of our week. So that's why I was thinking it actually is a good portrait of London.
Well, like the cranes themselves, they look very fragile. They're just sticks up in the air. And you said that you are showing yours raised off the ground. How raised off the ground is roller coaster?
From the ground is like 3 meter, average 3 meter.
Wow.
So sometimes I've been mounting it in a tunnel, like in a gallery. Before yeah. entering the gallery, there was a kind of a tunnel. So I covered the walls, so everybody was walking through it.
Nice.
And sometimes I think here for the Old Brompton Cemetery Chapel, I'm gonna do something very dense in the middle to have a very strong element in the center. And maybe you will be able to walk through, maybe not, I don't know.
And what's it gonna be suspended from the ceiling with?
Actually, it will be suspended on the net. It's actually a spiral net.
Okay.
From this net, I will hang butterfly clips.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That's gonna suspend the sculpture.
Because it's made of straws, and straws are made of a very thin material, when persons walk underneath, do you think there'll be movement from the wind of the person?
Actually, it's quite, there might be a little movement, especially if there is wind. It might like move slightly.
Nice.
But it's like the reeds, you know, this
yeah.
sculpture. So it means that it moves, but it's strong, because it follows the movement of the space. And so it looks fragile. It's like the cranes. They look very thin, very fragile.
Exactly.
But actually they are super strong. So it's the same with the roller coaster.
And when will people be able to see roller coaster at the Brompton Cemetery?
So it's gonna be from the 23rd of June until the 3rd of July.
Excellent. If you wasn't an artist, what would you like to be?
Very good question. I love asking this question to my friends, because I always have very unpredictable like answer. But I like, for me, if I was not being an artist, sometimes I'm dreaming of being a truck driver and traveling the world,
brilliant.
Europe, and being always on the roads, you know,
yeah.
covering. And or for example, I don't know, it's very naive. Of course, I will never do this, but
who knows? Who knows?
Or, you know, I love the building work. So, for example, I love the, I always imagine when I see a bridge or when I see a tunnel, I always understand the satisfaction of the people who build this bridge or this tunnel to really like help the community and to create like a link between point A to point B.
I
think it's very rewarding when you manage to do such a work.
Other than Roller Coaster, which is on the 23rd of June, have you got anything else coming up?
At the moment, I only focus on Roller Coaster. I always have like parallel projects because as an artist, you always need to take out your exhibition, develop your project, and also do a little bit of communication. So it's like a multidisciplinary practice. So I'm developing a project that talk about photography. And then I want to do some more variation of some of the piece I already developed, but just to give more, to better express the potentiality of the same pieces.
I mean, you're speaking about Roller Coaster being in a very large chapel. You also put it in a very small gallery in Soho, didn't you?
Yeah.
And it almost filled the exhibition space, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Every time I'm on Roller Coaster, I never know exactly what the shape and the color going to be. I have a broad idea, but it's always kind of improvisation. But here for the smallest gallery in Soho, it was a very interesting space because it looks like an aquarium on the street.
Yeah.
It's always open from the outside. And it was at the end, it looks like a mangrove, like enclosed in this aquarium. So it was completely new approach and new like vision I had of my own sculpture.
Who'd think a load of straws put together could fill a room, eh?
Yeah, exactly. I could have had more, but sometimes it's better to remove and just to leave some strength to some line.
Yeah, so I agree.
It's a composition,
I agree. And where can people find you, be it on social media or website?
So I have Instagram and a website. My Instagram is Lise Bruissière, and my website is lisebruissière.com.
And I'll put those in the show notes underneath. Lise, all the very best with Roller Coaster on the 23rd of June at the Brompton Cemetery's Chapel.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Lise, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gary.
And hopefully I'll see you on the 23rd.
Lovely. I look forward to it.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hello. I'm Vasalia Chilton, the director of Kensington and Chelsea Art Week and Art Trail. The artist you've just been listening to is part of the Kensington and Chelsea Art Week and Art Trail. The Art Trail starts on the 18th of June and ends on the 31st of August. You can find all the details on our website, kcaw.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening.
Well, hope you enjoyed that episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. So we wasn't dictated to by advertisers, we decided from the offset to go ad-free, which means obviously we had to self-fund. So we set up the Ministry of Arts Patreon page. And without that support, we would not be able to produce this podcast. So if you like what you hear and you're able to support the podcast, just go over to the Ministry of Arts Instagram profile. You'll find a Linktree drop-down box, which will direct you straight to our Patreon page. And for the price of a cup of coffee, you can help keep us growing week by week. But if you're not able to do that, that's fine because this content is free for everyone. But leaving a review on whichever platform you listen to your podcast, that really does help us get noticed and anyone else looking for an art podcast. Or even giving us a positive shout out on your social media. Everything is appreciated. But either way, thanks for listening. And until next week, ta-da.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.